Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, another one of those interesting moments where our fearless leader, dear leader, has decided that his attention needs to be focused on restoring statues. We need to bring back those Confederate general statues to make sure that the ones torn down in D.C. get restored and put right back up, because he's doubling down, man. And in fact, you know, he was all proud of the fact that they sent out unarmed National Guard people to defend all of the statues. And also, I guess, the one of Andrew Jackson at Lafayette Park. He was quite thrilled with that. And the fact that they're going to lock up a bunch of people and they're going for maximum jail time. Because we've got to protect the statues. The hell with those kids who are going hungry. Never mind the people who are dying because of his inaction on the virus. Never mind. The statues are what matters. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top news of the day, our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello.
We're protecting the statues, Sarah.
You know, it's interesting. The statues don't vote. So I'm curious how this is going to translate into something valuable for the president. But I don't know.
Or do
Maybe
they?
Maybe it's a thing.
Or do they?
You know, I would not be surprised if the ghost of Andrew Jackson follows Trump around, and or at the very least, the president thinks that he sees the ghost of Andrew Jackson. That would not surprise me at all. You know, what's interesting is there's really only one Confederate soldier statue outside in Washington, D.C. Granted, Andrew Jackson, who was not necessarily a Confederate soldier, was just a general ass. But the Confederate statue in Washington, the mayor could very easily just say, poof, be gone.
Right.
And get rid of it. So, I would not be surprised if that's the route that she takes, and it just sends Trump into clutching his pearls and freaking out, which would be priceless. But, the funny thing about Trump has been talking about this Monuments Act with the statues. And first of all, it's not the Monuments Act. The Monuments Act is actually a Teddy Roosevelt program that he started to save national parks, essentially, to build these amazing national parks all over the country. So it's not the Monuments Act. What I think Trump is actually using to try and save all of these Confederate statues is something called the Veterans Memorial Act, which is supposed to protect statues, monuments, memorials for military members of the United States. Here is my favorite part about all of this. The Confederate statues are not American soldiers.
Right.
Because they're to the Confederacy. So this is going to be like a really fun lawsuit that I'm going to get really nerd out on in all the documents, because if you cannot protect federal Confederate statues under that veterans law or the veterans monument law. And so it's just like, ooh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, but here's the thing, sir. This is the weird thing. There are a lot of people who think, well, you know, both sides, they were both Americans. They're both American soldiers. You know, the other day, you know, give you a perfect example of how strange things are. The other day I saw a pickup truck in front of me with a GOP sticker and the Confederate flag. And, you know, I started thinking about, you know, the party of Lincoln, and must Abraham Lincoln be spinning in his grave that his party that he founded is being flagged right next to the flag that he fought? I mean, it's just this weird kind of moment where, you know, they're rewriting history as we go to fit their narrative of which, yeah, Abe Lincoln would be all for the Confederate flag.
Which is hilarious, because it proves that not only are they trying to rewrite history, they don't even know the history that they're rewriting. They're just making up
just
stuff.
Making it up. I shouldn't say rewriting. And I should say pulling it out of their behinds.
Yes. Yes. Or somebody else's behind, or out of a septic tank, really. that hasn't been cleaned for decades, really. That's how awful it is. And I feel like these, you know, this is a really good example of Trump trying to find something to fix that he can fix, because nothing else that's going on is something that he can do anything about. He truly is powerless to stop the coronavirus. He can't fix the economy. I mean, all of the things are collapsing around him. And so he's just like trying to grab on to something that he can actually fix. And, you know, even this, it's just like, okay, whatever. If that's what you want to spend all your time working on, then you go do that.
By all means.
The rest of us are going to worry about the election in November.
Defending the legacy of traitors. And the weird thing is you've got other senators, and I look at Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, who did a video today. Well, I guess he was standing in front of an Abraham Lincoln monument, you know, saying, you know, the radical left wants to tear Honest Abe down and rewrite history. And, you know, America is, you know, the beacon of freedom and hope and all this stuff. And I'm going, you're defending traitors.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's standing in front of a Lincoln statue trying to argue that we should have all of the Confederate generals who fought Lincoln. And so it's like he's using Lincoln to justify Confederate statues, which is so frustrating because it's just like, dude, go back to Florida. I mean, seriously, you guys have like a major COVID problem there. Deal with that. And stop trying to tell me that these Confederate statues are more important than the lives of 122,000 Americans that have died.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can go off about the Confederate statues, but for real, people are dying. So,
and it's getting, sadly, it's getting worse. And I mean, this is, you know, we had talked about this a while ago that, you know, while the South was basically thumbing their nose at us, we were saying, hey, you know, keep it up. It's going to come your way. Well, we're now in this moment where it's come to fruition. It's spiking all throughout the South. And like I said at the beginning of the show, the state of Mississippi, it's reported, does not have one single ICU bed available in the entire state.
Oh, my gosh. Bless their heart. In the genuine sense, not in the sarcastic, Rick Scott, bless your heart way. But for real, like this is, you know, it's not just, I'm still holding up in Oklahoma. I did leave on Wednesday and get a cup of coffee. And I drove around the lake nearby. That was the extent of my excitement for the last week or so. And so I have been locked up since February, and these idiots are just making things even worse because they have decided that they know better than, you know, infectious disease experts and epidemiologists and public health experts. And, you know, the things in Tulsa were going really badly before the Trump rally. He had, I think it's 8 staffers now who have of the advance team who have COVID.
And a bunch of Secret Service agents that they've quarantined as well.
Yeah, that they've had to quarantine all these Secret Service agents. So you're taking Secret Service agents out of the field. These people who came to Tulsa a week ago, when we were really having like the highest spikes that we have had, so it doesn't surprise me that these people wandered around with no masks on and are just like, oh, I got the COVID, surprise. And now things are getting worse. I don't think necessarily because, if things were bad before the Trump rally, you know, things were going the wrong way before the Trump rally.
Right.
So I will be curious to see how things are on Saturday and how things are next Saturday, because we're already setting, you know, new records. It's like every other day we have a new record, and Texas is the same way. Arizona is the same way. Everybody's setting new records, and it's horrifying. And it's all because people were like, oh, we can reopen. Everything is fine. Well, turns out it's not fine.
Is this what winning looks like?
Yeah, right? Like, this is what happens whenever people think that they're, oh, we're doing great. And they're just not. These are governors who don't listen to science. And they've tried to cover things up. So, you know, Florida, they're going to send all these Republicans to Florida for this giant convention when COVID is raging. I just feel like you know, people, you would want to save your voters, right?
No, I say good, you would, go. You know, again, I come back to the reality of go. You know, good luck. You know, stay away from the rest of us. And there's part of me goes, you know, maybe the only way we get through this is we allow the herd to thin itself.
You know, it's like putting bleach in the gene pool. And I hate the idea of, you know, endangering all of the people who are going to have to work at this convention. That thing is really scary. But, you know, all these Republicans, if you want to show up and be together and share the COVID and swap some spit, then lick those doorknobs all you want. Have fun. Tally-ho.
And we're not going to wear a stinking mask in the whole crowd.
Which is just absurd. Like, Trump even has Trump-branded masks. They're American flag masks. Like, you can show your patriotism. You could even do a Confederate flag. You could show that you're super heterosexual just to show off what a man you are and all of the things that you want on your stupid little mask. I'm going to hide under the bed, but do your thing.
You know, it just dawned on me you know, I can't believe Trump didn't jump on the mask thing earlier. I can't believe I didn't think of this. This was a great way to put money in his pocket, the Trump mask. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of this before.
He made the Trump Sharpies. He made the Trump straws. He's had like 70 different hat versions, a ton of different t-shirts. Why he didn't make like a whole variety? You could have days of the week masks if you wanted from Trump. Like, there are so many options that he could have used to profit off of this. But instead, I think he really was focusing on, oh crap, if I put on a mask, people are going to see that I have a whole bunch of makeup on. And
is it that simple? Do you think that's it?
I think that's got to be it. I mean, sometimes too, if you have a smaller mask, it sort of makes your chin look a little bit like.
Yeah. I was thinking bad breath. So, I was thinking he didn't want to smell his own bad breath.
Maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't be. I think his, I don't know. I don't know what kind of if he has like a good brushing habit, but. Either way, like, I didn't really think that the makeup thing was that big of a deal until I saw that picture of him coming back from Oklahoma with the tie undone and holding his hat in his hand. If you zoom in on that, you can see the makeup on his collar. It's really, really bad. It's really, really bad. It's like, oh, damn.
It's a lot of work to look that orange.
It is, and it's a lot to get that out of the shirt, let me tell you, because I spilled some makeup on my favorite white dress like years ago, and it took forever to get it out, and nothing was going to work. So, you know, I pity the laundry person at the White House.
Yeah, that's why I'm anti-makeup. I just think it's a waste. I know women like
it. You know,
it.
I think you would look out. I think you'd look great with like some extra eyelashes, you know,
no,
or maybe.
I can't do it.
You know. Right?
Can't
maybe
do
like
it.
A little, you could do a little beauty mark or something on your lip, on your upper lip.
my daughters keep wanting to paint my toenails. That ain't happening either. So, hey, if that's your thing, bless you on that. Let's move along. Evidently, the court has not ruled in favor of Trump having the book by Mary Trump blocked. Thoughts?
I'm curious to see how this is going to go because I don't know what her NDA says. I don't know what they're going to throw at her, but I think it's going to be a lot. Like, it's not just Trump. It's his brother, Robert, is also working with him on this. And it's got to be bad. You know it's going to be bad. I am more excited about her book than I have ever been about John Bolton's book because we knew what was in Bolton's book.
Right.
And nobody wants to give that asshat any money. I'll give Mary Trump some money, you know, like she's the one, the only family member left who's willing to throw him under the bus. So I say, how can I help? And I'm excited. Her book comes out, I think, in August. So, you know, a good couple of months closer to the election and we'll see how this goes.
Now the wheels are spinning because I've got to think of if there's a way that I can get her on the program, because evidently I'm getting John Bolton here the 1st of July. To I'm going to get a couple of minutes with him to ask the only question I've got, what are you planning for prison? That's supposed to happen.
Oh my gosh. I have so many questions for him.
I do too. And I only get 10 minutes, but I'm going to try and pack in what I can.
Well, one of the things that he said on the ABC interview on Sunday was that he truly doesn't believe that anything that he would have said would have changed what Republicans on the Hill felt about Donald Trump. I really kind of want him to expand on that. I agree with him, actually. I don't think that Republicans have made their bed. They've sold their soul. They've fish or cut bait. I'm trying to find how many cliches I can throw, but
sure.
I believe it. I think he's right on. I want him to expound on that further about I want him to talk about what is going on in the Senate and why, you know, how he believes the Republican Party has lost themselves this far. When did he start seeing this shift between ideological Republicans and this whole world of Trump worship? Did he see it throughout the course of the Trump administration, or was this something that he was paying attention to ahead of time? Because it seems like he genuinely thought, oh, everything will be fine. You know, like, Trump is crazy, but there will be people that fix this, and, you know, maybe he's not that nuts or whatever. I believe him that he thought, oh, this is not going to be that bad.
Yeah, and I believe that he thought, I believe that he thought that Trump would actually listen to his counsel.
Yeah, I think he did too.
And
I think
wrong.
He was woefully unprepared for that. But I'm curious how that really factors into what he thinks about the evolution of the Republican Party and how, you know, they have gone from, you know, whether they're war hawks or not, to being Trump worshipers. And that agenda is more important than the GOP agenda.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that I would want to get into with him, but I get 10 minutes. That's it. So I, outside of, you know, what kind of toothpaste are you taking to jail? I'm still formulating my line of questioning. Because, look, if Trump wins, because, you know, Bolton has said he's not going to vote for Biden, he's not going to vote for Trump either, and so who the hell are you going to vote for? You better vote for Biden, because if Trump gets reelected, you're going to prison, buddy.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. He votes in Maryland, he said, so it's not going to matter who he votes for, because Maryland's going to be a blue state. So he thinks he's going to write in something, which will, I think, will pretty much nullify his ballot being even remotely useful, but whatever. This is going to be crazy.
No, and this is
watching
the thing
that happens.
I mean, we're coming, we're only 131 days away from election day. And things are obviously going to heat up. You know, the big story today, I'm sure you've seen, is Joe Biden's slip. You know, he said 120 million when he should have said 120,000. And the right is just running with it, as you would expect.
Which is really surprising to me, because it's like, you know, there are so many things that Trump has said or done, and they're really grasping at straws here. You know, they're trying so hard to come up with something, and it's just not working. One of my favorite things that I learned this week is there was a guy on MSNBC who was talking about merchandise being sold at Trump rallies.
Right.
Given the fact that there are now Trump rallies and there is this, you know, young Republican conservative Trumpy convention in Arizona over the weekend. There's always like a ton of merchandise.
Sure. Drive up and down roads here where I live, and there are a bunch of people on the side of the roads hawking stuff.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of the stuff that they are selling that's anti-democratic is anti-Hillary stuff. And the reason for that is apparently the anti-Biden stuff won't sell. Nobody buys it.
No.
And that is really surprising. I mean, I think I understand, like, obviously we all understand, like, how hated the Clintons are, but this idea that people don't hate Joe Biden, they don't want to hate on him. They think he's fine. He seems like a very nice man, old, but a very nice man. And so it's just really surprising to me that, you know, this is kind of one of those benchmarks that you're like, whoa. So Trump really can't run the style of campaign that he did with Hillary Clinton, you know, making up all these conspiracy theories and saying really terrible things about him and leading chants and all of these things. And it sort of happened, you know, in Tulsa a little bit where he tried to crap on Biden and it didn't really, the stuff doesn't land.
Yeah.
You know,
no, because I think you hit it right on the head right at the beginning. He's a man. I think, you know, again, you know, the Hillary, you know, stuff,
he's a
was,
white man too.
The misogyny was, you know, front and center. And you can't have a chant of lock him up because, you know, people are going to go, well, which him? Yeah. Just kind of throwing that out there.
Well, I think too. I mean, obviously the fact that he's a white guy makes things a little bit easier on folks because he looks like a good old boy. And the fact that he's got a black best friend, you know, is helping him with the black vote. So,
yeah, especially now. Even though Biden was my fifth choice, I'm still voting for him. It doesn't matter if he said 120 million or 120 trillion for that matter. I don't care how badly he screwed up the number. I think if he were president, we wouldn't have 120,000 people dead. We would have responded to this in a much better fashion, and far fewer people would have lost their lives from the beginning. So arguing over million or thousand or whatever word was used, to me, doesn't amount to very much if your actions would have prevented even the smaller number from dying.
Yeah, 122,000 Americans have died, 2.4 million people in the United States have had COVID. 2.4 million. That's getting close to the population of some states.
Yeah. Well, look, the head of the CDC, the director of the CDC today came out and said he actually believes it could be as high as 10 times higher than that number, upwards of 20 million people across the country. And the thing is there's so much we don't know, and there's so much that we don't know because the leadership is so badly skewed. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, evidently, Mike Pence is going to come out and give, you know, the first briefing that they've done or the first meeting of the task force in a couple of months, and his first time leading the meeting because Trump wants to get the hell away from this.
Yeah, and it surprises me that that Trump's not going to be at this because he really likes the camera and he doesn't like it when other people have the spotlight. So how is this really going to happen? Is Pence really going to be the focus, or is Trump going to walk in on this thing and then try and, you know, give his talking points about how it doesn't really exist and the virus is going down? Already, whatever the hell Pence is going to say, I can promise you it's going to be crap, because earlier this week, whenever he met with members on Capitol Hill, he was saying, oh, it's really just increasing in like three major counties. Or in three counties across the country. Well, you know, if the county has 2 million people in it, that's a problem. If you're talking about Houston and them running out of ICU beds, that's not the same as some random county in Wyoming that has 10 people and 1,000 cows in it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, for real. And so I'm concerned that Pence either doesn't know the situation, is lying about it or downplaying it, or what the hell is going on. But I don't trust whatever he's going to say.
I'm right there with you. And look, if you remember, you know, Trump said from the beginning, there are only 15 cases and soon it'll be down to zero. That was over 122,000 deaths ago. That was in a moment where there were none. And had he taken it seriously at that moment, we probably wouldn't be here at this moment. I hold him responsible for this entire thing. And 131 days can't come fast enough, so I can vote to have him ousted from office. That simple. Finally, Jack Abramoff back in the news, and I guess going back to jail.
We'll see how long that lasts, because you remember last time he was supposed to be in for like 5 years and he only served like 43 months. And given the fact that he's a white collar criminal and there's the COVID thing, I'm surprised that they're not just sticking an ankle monitor on him and telling him to go play at his summer home or something. But yeah, he turns out Jack Abramoff, the Republican lobbyist who broke all of these laws in the early 2000s, now has broken all of these laws in 2020 and is going to jail for 6 years. 5 or 6 years now, which, you know, who knows if that'll really happen. But sometimes you kind of feel like, you know, I mean, we're in a recession, the Abramoff thing, like, I feel like we're going back in time. Like, this is very 2008.
Yeah. It's feeling of the bad old days. And in fact, you know, in February, the country went into a recession. You know, there's still unemployment numbers going up. You know, we're really heading in the wrong direction. And well, not just heading, it's almost like a terminal velocity free fall into the wrong direction, which again, 131 days till election day.
But make America great again.
There you go. Sarah, I appreciate the time. As always, fantastic stuff. Stay safe. Can't wait till next week.
Yes, stay safe. Be well. Be careful. Wash your hands.
Yeah, you back at you. And wear your mask. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work. They do fantastic work there and keep you up to date, informed, as well as entertained. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.